The NASCAR Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Edge Boost. Yes, we are. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Drivers, start your engine!
Strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
We may not have run 600 miles today, but it, of course, is the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Body Armor Zeeb. I'm Rod, well, no armor at this point, Villagomez. And we are coming to you live to recap all of the wacky fun that happened on this five-day weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina. Or Concord, North Carolina, wherever they were when that rain was going on. Cody, buddy, listen, this was the greatest weekend in racing that never wanted to end, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just an extended weekend, right? It's like when you have, you know, a kid has a birthday party and then there's like another, you know, you got the family party one week and the friends party the next weekend. It's like, you're just going to keep celebrating, right? It's great. Ryan Blaney, finally back in victory lane. Oh my goodness. 59 race winless streak finally snapped. Ryan Blaney's corner can officially come out of retirement.
Right, oh, here we go. Ready?
You're allowed to
in honor, one more one for him.
I love it. Yes, we're officially much like Martin Truex, allowed to bet on him for outrights again. Couple of long winless streaks being broken this year. So I think Keselowski's is next, but we'll have to see.
Ah, jeez, Keselowski, man, that poor guy. This race was not kind to him in the least. I mean, it was great for a while, right? Those RFK cars were looking fantastic.
Real good for a bit, yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, they were both. I mean, Buescher wins stage two. It all looked really good for a bit. And then that's why we preached all weekend. It's that extra 100 miles, extra 200 miles compared to a lot of the races. Makes a huge difference. And then half the field gets taken out in the last 100 miles and that's how it goes.
It's a war of attrition. And listen, I'm going to lead off with this because I got a lot of flack in the Discord channel for my Jimmy Johnson call, which I fully own. Oh. I fully own. But listen, that car was not bad.
I was kicking myself because I didn't play him. And I'm like, dude, he's up to 25th place already. Like, he was moving up through the field. He started dead last. Like, it was the per. And even though he went out, he didn't cost you any points at least. So that's it. It wasn't. As crazy as it sounds, it wasn't a bad play. Like, he looked good for a while. Maybe in retrospect, the 600 mile part with him not knowing the car, but he's a 7-time champion. He's got 83 wins. Like, you expect him to somewhat figure it out. And that was kind of what we were hoping. I mean, Zane Smith only has 3 starts in the Cup Series, 4 starts at this point, maybe. And he raced just fine. So. But boy, rough time for Legacy. Man, I think they're ready to hit the fast forward button and slide over into that Toyota camp. Can we just start running Toyotas right now? Maybe
I'm telling
just
you,
a little better.
I think they're waiting for it. No, really, what happened was Digger, the old Fox Gopher guy, he was underneath the track and he was puncturing Legacy's gas tanks. That's what he was doing.
Well, supposedly, at least according to Legacy, they hit the same piece of debris and tore out both their whatever it was, we radiators. I don't know what happened.
Debris. Zane Smith, top 10 paid. Yes, indeed. Hey, listen. Yes. And just so you guys know, like I said, I called out Jimmy. Yeah, okay. I'll take my lumps. But I also did give you Blaney and I gave you Truex, didn't I? I gave you two guys that finished inside the top four. And if you did pay attention to my For Frequency Sake article, I did give you Zane Smith as a DFS play, and I told you that he would stand to benefit if this became a race of attrition, which, guess what? It became a race of attrition. And where did Zane Smith finish? Inside the top 10. Thank you. I wasn't completely off this week.
Bingo. There you go. Steven, I don't know if you're the one from the Discord, but somebody's wife said to bet Zane Smith top 10. It was like 11-1, and yeah, great hit there. So
hey, and I also said I can't find fault in either one of those either. So definitely, you know, I was off. Yes, I was off. But there was times where I was on. So can't be completely off all week long.
Yeah, man, it was another. Oh yeah, his wife picked it because she liked the paint scheme. Can't blame her for that. Nope. That was a good one. So yeah, but yeah, another weekend of picking fast cars that don't win the race. And it's like, you said it, like, why are we even handicapping these at this point? Like, to a degree, it's like you do everything right and then the circumstances don't fall. Christopher Bell in the Cup Series race, like the fastest car all day for the most part. And he just kept shooting himself in the foot. And then Ty Gibbs, easily the best car. I mean, he's just running away from everybody. And then they have to change the steering wheel. Like, who cares if his fucking radio's stuck? Like, he's leading the race. Leave him out there. What are you doing? And then we got a caution, but then he didn't get a good restart. We needed one more caution. Ugh. And then Austin Hill played the strategy perfectly. If those three guys would have run out of gas at the end. Ugh, so close, but oh well.
Well, and then in the truck race, too, the truck race had all of its fair share of us being able to cash a bunch.
Like, that race was last week.
Yeah, it was last week. It
literally was.
It really was last week, yeah.
I mean, I forgot the trucks raced this weekend.
They sure did race this weekend. They kicked it all off. In fact, they were the ones that actually got their race in on time, right? They were the only ones that actually raced when they were supposed to. So, yeah.
No issues.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we picked a lot of fast trucks, and they did not end up winning the race either. Obviously, that belonged to Ben Rhodes, who nobody...
Same thing, Corey Heim, yep. Fast in that race.
Yep.
It's like, and Willow here, yep, feel the same way, heavy on Gibbs. I was too. Then Kyle Busch pulls out, and it's like, okay, there you go. It's even better. And then he's just out front the whole day. And then you get to the point where, yeah, just dumb shit, like having to change a steering wheel. And it's like, fuck, man, that's the stuff that costs you. And he fought his way back up to the field. Had there been more cautions at the end, I think you've been able to have something for him, but just how it goes.
We'll talk more about that here in a second. We got to step away for the first break of the night and tell you about Edge Boost. Have you signed up for Edge Boost yet? If not, you are totally missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use two times the fun on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances, up to $2,500 that you can add to your bankroll. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. I'll tell you right now, my Edge Boost double down play of the day did not pan out. Next week's, it will. Hang tight with it. So again, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. So I feel like going over our bets might not even be worthwhile, only because it just feels like it wasn't even that we hit some and that we didn't hit some. I just feel like this weekend there was so much out of our control that we can, even going through our thought process like we normally do, almost doesn't seem like it. So let's just commiserate over some of the stuff and talk about some of the good racing that we saw. And we'll start with that truck race, because that truck race actually did have some pretty solid racing. Like you said, Corey Heim, one of the fastest trucks. We did see Carson Hocevar around the front. Grant Enfinger, who we called out earlier, Taylor Gray.
Remember that whole conversation we had last week about how Ben Rhodes just can't seem to catch a break, and they go back and delete that off the record, because good Lord, I went on a 5-minute rant about how nothing's working for Ben Rhodes. He switches screw chiefs. They can't figure anything out. And then he comes out, spanks everybody. And it's like, geez, man. But it was a very good race, man. These mile and a half tracks have been delivering. I mentioned it in the Discord, but it's like, this is how it was late 90s, early 2000s, right? It was like, oh, we got to get more of these mile and a halves. And like, they start building all these tracks. You get Kansas and Chicagoland and Kentucky and all these places pop up. And then it's like, oh, now then they all started going away. And now it's like, that's where we're getting our best racing. But it was all three races, I think, were very exciting. Obviously, the rain threw a literal damper on the weekend. It was just kind of, it did work out better for me, actually, to be able to watch the two races today. So I kind of, at least for me, it worked out. It was nice. But it makes it tough. And then the Xfinity Series race, like, you start some of it, and then you do the other race, and then you finish it. And the Cup Series race, at least that went a little better. I mean, we had the delays and stuff, but the whole thing was just kind of, yeah. And then it makes it hard, too, because, like they talked about, right, these guys didn't get any time on the track, so we didn't even get to see a practice or qualifying. And then they're set up to start in the day and run into the night, but then it starts earlier, but then it's rain delayed, and so everything just kind of makes it harder to, as far as the handicapping process. We still hit some decent bets too. It's not like we had complete losses on the weekend or anything like that, but again, we had the fastest cars we picked in all three races, in my opinion, and none of them came through.
Well, okay, so fine. Let's go over a couple of them. To start with, you had a pretty good one in the truck race where you started yours, Heim over Majeski, right? So yep. You hit that one.
Yep, that's, again, just can't trust Majeski. That's where I'm at this point, and that worked out. And Heim has been fucking fast. And so, yeah, and Heim top five, plus 105. So started off the weekend good with hitting those two fairly easily. I mean, Heim, again, one of the fastest trucks all night long.
Hey, and Majeski was too. He started second. He finished seventh. It wasn't as if it was bad. And we said, too, it could be to where, you know, Majeski, because I had Majeski as a top three truck, which he started out that way and kind of hung around in that area, finally made his way back up to seventh after some hassles. But, I mean, I felt like that should have cashed, but unfortunately it didn't. And I had Josevar over Ekus. That actually did hit. Josevar. Again, we talked about how fast of a truck that kid has, and he's starting to look really, really strong. So look out for him coming forward. He did finish fourth.
He's got these intermediates figured out, too. He's been real fast on them. I mean, you go back, obviously, look, he won at Texas. He was good at Kansas for a bit there, and then this week, too. So definitely, and he was good in the Xfinity Series race tonight as well. So that's, he looked good.
Steven says, the problem is, if you're not first, you're last. That is right.
That is accurate.
Well, yes. Hell, what does that even mean? No, there's fourth, there's fifth? Nah.
At least in betting, that's not always true, because there's all these other things, right? We both had Friesen over Rhodes. Obviously, we touched on Rhodes just popping up out of nowhere. Roger Carruth, top five I had.
That was,
man,
heartbreaking.
Again, very fast throughout the night, and that's exactly what I said would happen. I mean, fourth in stage one. He was out of the top 10 in stage two, but ends up with 11th place finish, which is fine. He starts fourth place. So, again, I'm going to keep an eye on that. If that number stays down, he's shown the speed. I talked about the inconsistency with getting the solid finish, but in 11th place, he's got, I think, a sixth place a couple weeks ago at Darlington, getting a little closer.
And he was fast. He was up there. He was running in that area that he doesn't necessarily run in all that often, and sure enough, got kind of caught up in it. And it wasn't even his fault. That's the sad part. It wasn't anything he really did. Just got caught up in it. Speaking of getting caught up in it, Taylor Gray, top five truck.
That was a great call by you as well.
Damn it, he was too.
He had the opportunity to possibly win this race, which I gave him out 40-1. He was in the mix. There was times in this race where it looked like he might actually get it done.
Hey, and he finished 10th too, which was, I mean, by all rights and accounts, Taylor Gray, I'm going to keep an eye on him, just like you're going to keep an eye on the, was it, Heim. Carruth. Yeah.
Well, yeah, both.
All of them, I guess.
All of them.
So,
but yeah, and then yeah, I'd given out Heim to win. I still feel like that's a good bet, 6-1. He was arguably the fastest truck on the night. Friesen 20-1. I felt like the value was there. He had points where he looked good, right? And then he didn't look so good. I mean, he was top 8th in stage 1, 5th in stage 2. He was up there, but ended up he got caught. I guess he was still running at the end, but I think he got spun out or something at one point, and yeah.
So, he got touched up, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. He was a casualty of war as well. And then of course you gave out Taylor Gray like you said at 40-1, yep. Which would have hit. If it would have hit, we'd have been eating more than steak. That'd have been beautiful.
That would have been real nice.
And then I gave out Grant Enfinger to win that race. And of course, like I said, Enfinger finished 5th. He was never going to win that race. He was always going to be a top 5 truck, unfortunately. But that was mainly because, you know, he started 11th and he didn't really find his way up to the front until toward the end there. He was nowhere in the top 10 in either of the stages. At the end of the stages, but you know, again, managed his way to a 10th place finish. So, like I said, this race was a great race overall. I mean, there's only 5 cautions for 32 laps, not bad. And there was 12 lead changes. So it was a highly contested race. You had Ben Rhodes leading laps. You had Corey Heim leading laps. You had Carson Hocevar leading laps. You even had Chase Purdy leading a couple after some cautions. But yeah, I mean, those three were the major three, though. Heim, Hocevar, and Hocevar, and Rhodes. But yeah, it was a pretty good race. Tanner Gray, though, picking up some laps led on this race as well.
He started up on the pole, which was kind of surprising. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Spent a little time up front there.
Yeah. So, all right, let's step away for a second break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other two races on the weekend as far as the Cup and, of course, the Xfinity. But let's tell you that we are brought to you by the SGPN app, home to all of our free picks and podcasts just like this one. You get it all in one convenient app. Plus, you get exclusive free roll contest links. Get in right now by downloading the SGPN app for free in the App Store or the Google Play Store.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so pick your poison, Cody. Let's talk about the Cup race because that was the one that happened. Let's go in the order of how it happened. So,
is it the order? Is it the order of how they happened, or how they started, how they finished?
Hold on, because then okay. So let's go to the Xfinity part.
The Xfinity bets, and then go over to the Cup series. Nobody knows what's even going on.
Switch off. Who knows? But yeah, so the Cup race and the Cup race, man. I got to tell you, when you start and then stop again, you're just thinking to yourself, "Oh Lord, here we go again." It's redonkulous, but we did get all 600 miles in, thank God, and we did actually hit a few bets in this, and some of them should have hit but didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad we did get the full 600. I was concerned it would turn into the 300, especially with having to get the Xfinity race after. If there ended up being a couple-hour break, maybe they just call it and then start the Xfinity race when they could. It did work out pretty well. I think they only had to stop it once after they finally got it started, I think, right?
Yeah. So.
Just the one red flag. So that wasn't too bad. Obviously, we were delayed a day, but glad we got the full 600 in. Yeah, so to start, I had Harvick top 10, minus 120. This was, I mean, perfect, right? It was cashing most of the day. Well, he starts, what, second place? And he just dropped like a rock, like 30th in a couple of laps. It was crazy. But they got it figured out quickly. He got back up there, had a strong run. He was easily cruising to a top 10. Gets tagged by Reddick, spins through the infield, and that pretty much ruined his day at that point. Although he ended up 11th?
He finished 11th.
He came all the way back. And, you know, had we had another a late caution or something, he might have got there. Had him for a top 5 at plus 220. I mean, there was points where he looked like he could have won the race. But again, 600 miles, you got to get there at the end. Then I had Harvick top 4, Bell top Toyota, 10-1. Both of those looked really good. So, I mean, Bell, I think, was one of the was probably the fastest car in the race, in my opinion. He just kept running through the field, kept shooting himself in the foot. I think he tagged the wall at one point. That kind of killed his car. But and then, obviously, Harvick, I think, had a chance for that top Ford. Ford's had an interesting day. They looked bad early, right? And then it's kind of ended up how you expect it to. Logano's kind of just whatever. And then Blaney's up front. Like, I mean, Blaney consistently has been getting the good finishes. It's the wins that have been avoiding him. Harvick usually figures it out, of course. The RFK car started looking strong after a while. And then the other three SHR cars just out to lunch like they normally are on big tracks. But Chase Briscoe looked absolutely horrible. Glad I didn't fade him this week, although I felt like I should have at the start of the race. But the reason I didn't was because of you have to last, and if he could last the race, maybe it'd be a decent finish. Ends up running within three spots of J.J. Yaley. Just happens to be a good finish because there's attrition. So,
Stephen wanted to remind us that Zane Smith passed Kevin Harvick for 10th. So that was absolutely correct.
Props to, which for Stephen was nice because he was definitely watching that battle, right? Holding that, holding that 11-1 ticket on Zane Smith. So can't blame him.
All right. I had Jimmy Johnson as the top 10 next.
We already talked about that.
I'm not even going over that one again.
Yeah. My next one was a heartbreaker. I had Kyle Busch top five plus 140. He ends up going all Mater on us, driving backwards for a while. I don't even know what that was about, but it was great. Had his chances there. Him and Stenhouse got real touchy there at the end, and I think that cost Busch his chance at the top five. Ends up finishing seventh, but definitely had a fast car throughout the race. So unfortunate that didn't work, but was close.
It was close. My next one was all over God's green earth. It was cashing. It was not. It was cashing. Whew, thank God at the end of the day, it ended up cashing. I had Brad K over Ross Chastain. Again, this
was
one was cashing.
Really that close throughout the day?
Did
Chastain race? Did he know there was a race today?
No, but Brad Keselowski ended up getting in the wrong end of a mix-up, which could have ruined his day.
Yes.
So but for Brad, lucky this was a 600 mile race, because he did find his way into the backup, I guess, into the top 20. He finished 19th. Ross Chastain finishes 22nd.
I don't know that Chastain got better than 20th all night. Like, I don't even remember seeing Chastain throughout there, which I guess, you know, take the plow off the front and maybe that's where he's running. I don't know. It was very interesting for as fast as he's been lately.
Well, JDK says stale bread Keselowski.
I don't think JDK is going to be betting on Keselowski for a bit. He's had some comments in the Discord about his displeasure.
But for Chastain, look, he was ninth at the end of stage two, and he actually did manage to kind of run his way to the front. This is what I'm saying, like, around stage two he started to get close enough to Brad to make me kind of get a little bit antsy. But luckily, like I said, and look what I said before too about Ross Chastain, you saw it happen. You saw him let up when Kyle Larson got close to him. You saw him not push as hard as he would normally. Like, he's been reined in a little bit. So, yeah, I'm telling you right now, JDK dead to him.
JDK dead to him. And then Steven, too, brought up Bell dang near got up past Chastain. Again, yeah, for the 100th time. I did. That was one of my farther on down the road bets. I had Bell over Chastain, minus 105. Again, from a speed standpoint, from a race standpoint throughout most of the day, this was easily the right call and just didn't quite work out. Unfortunately, I did have Chris Buescher top 10 plus 240. Comes out win stage two, looking real fast, looking real good. Ends up with a nice solid eighth place run. So did cash that one plus 240. Couple of plus money bets here. You're plus 210, this plus 240 here. Those definitely help take the sting off of not getting the outright.
Or take the sting off of not getting the Kevin Harvick over Bubba Wallace one, where Kevin Harvick, if he would have just not gotten in trouble, then he could have stayed ahead of Bubba Wallace. I really honestly believe that he probably could have stayed toward the front, but Bubba managed to finish in fourth. Bubba had a hell of a run after getting an altercation with Eric Almirola.
Especially on these intermediates, Bubba shows up with a lot of speed, and he continues to get good, solid finishes, so shout out to Bubba on that. But, yeah, I mean, again, you're getting plus money on Harvick. we saw his speed throughout the day. If he doesn't get tagged by Reddick there, I mean, he was running, what, sixth or seventh, I think, at that point. Obviously, that cost him a lot. He fought his way back up there, but not enough to get over Bubba. I had Harvick over Byron, plus 205. I still think this was a good bet because, like, imagine if that would have been Harvick over Larson. Larson and Byron are considered very close as far as the books go, and Larson ends up wrecked. Long race, right? That could have easily gone the other way and been Byron in that situation. Now Byron ends up finishing second, and, of course, Harvick's 11th. But, again, a plus 205, well, when you're hitting things like the Brad Kay over Ross Chastain, I think almost any time you get these lopsided matchups, if it's 2-1 or more, you almost just have to take them because there's so many things that can happen. And if it goes how it's supposed to go and Byron beats Harvick, that's how it was supposed to go, right? But for the things that, if that would have been against Larson, if that would have been against Elliott, that would have been against Hamlin, you cash all of those because those guys didn't make it to the end.
Yeah, and again, it's just so frustrating because, you know, this race was long enough to have a lot of stuff get covered up, and yet not long enough for it to kind of cash the things that we needed it to cash. Yeah, let's talk really first about what Willow's talking about. What's up with Larson? Lost it.
Yeah, well, I was gonna see Larson. What did Bob? Bob tweeted something about what Larson said after. I was trying to find the tweet.
I mean, look, you got to figure these guys were pushing it so hard in such hard circumstances. I mean, you know, it hard to keep your mental focus. And for Larson, too, it was, you know, he was beating, banging around with a lot of guys back in the back, too. So, I mean, just because Chastain let him go didn't mean everybody else was playing nice with him. So he just probably had a mental lockup, right? Because that's what it looked like. It just looked like the car let go from underneath him.
Yeah, I can't find the tweet, but I think that Bob, or maybe it was Jordan Bianchi, had tweeted out that Larson just said, sorry, guys, I just lost it. So I don't know what happened, but he just lost it.
Yeah, it looked like it, too. So. It looked like when you're driving and you've been driving for a long time and you just have that mental lapse and you feel the wheel kind of go out from underneath you and, you know.
Part of this long race, too. You got to watch out for those mistakes, mm-hmm. and that's part of what goes into this. And again, another week where Larson's the heavy favorite. He comes out last week and just, you know, an old-fashioned ass-whooping. But even today, there were points, right? He's come up through the field, and you're like, oh, here comes that five car. But really, they never got where he was up front that much. And then obviously, he ends up wrecking. So it's just, I don't, it's going to be hard to bet on him too much as the favorite. You have to pick and choose your spots because more often than not, he's the favorite almost every week. He's not hitting it most of the time.
It just goes to show you, though, that anything can happen on these tracks and normally will, especially in this long race. And we said it before. I mean, we said exactly that. I don't even think it would have mattered if there was rain, snow, sleet, sun, you know, something like that you can't guard against. You're going to have those mental lapses, and when they happen, they happen. All right, my next one was Haley as the winner of Group F on Superbook. Cindric, Priest, and AJ Allmendinger were in this group. Cindric took care of himself.
Three.
That was fine.
Three guys in a group of four end up within their 1, 2, 3 right next to each
other. Well, this is what we're talking about with head-to-heads and matchups, right? So Ryan Priest, 13th. AJ Allmendinger, 14th. Justin Haley, 15th. But Haley was in front of all of these guys for the better part of this race. It just all of a sudden people started to wreck out. And then here comes Priest, right? Priest starts to get up in the mix. Priest is in the top 15. Priest is in the top 10. What? And then, of course, you know, he remembered who he was and fell back again. But for AJ Allmendinger, AJ Allmendinger got in an accident, still managed to find his way up. Over Haley, but Haley fought back at the end to get around some of these other guys to finish in 16th, but or 15th rather. But I tell you right now, I'm frustrated with that because Haley was running really well for the most part, and I think he just never got a chance. He got backed up into as well. He was part of that incident in I can't remember where in the race now because
one such, which incident?
Yeah, one of those incidents. Yeah, somebody backed up into him and sort of kind of slowed him up, and that was kind of the end of his run leading this group. But I still think if he wouldn't have gotten backed up into And look, this is how close this group was because they were all right within each other. And Cindric, too. Cindric was in a position of Haley, like, or one or two the whole day. So this was a close group.
They're good at their groupings. This next one, you played your next bet perfectly, Rod.
I sure did. Yeah. Winning number under 11.5. That didn't happen. But the 10-19.
Missed it by half a point. Again, I did too. They set the line just right.
Damn hook. But I got the 10-19, and that was the one that paid out the most, right? +300 was the 10-19 band. If you got that one, you were happier than missing that 11.5. So, yep, 12 falls in between 10-19. And listen, man, I'm telling you right now, Martin Truex Jr. had a chance to win. Denny Hamlin had a chance to win. And who else were we talking about within that 10 range?
I mean, Elliott had a fast car at points.
Yeah.
That he looked pretty good.
Buescher was up in the top 10 there at 11. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, that 10-19 range had some pretty good cars.
Yeah, absolutely. Winners for me, I gave out Christopher Bell, 12-1. Again, I think it was a good bet. He was fast. He looked really good. Just kept hurting himself. And I got concerned because he was so fast early. And I was like, wait, I was hoping he would start slow and then work his way into being fast, right? Because that's how he'd been lately. But obviously that didn't work out. Kyle Busch, 12-1, had his chances throughout the day. And then Keselowski, 40-1. Again, guy who looked like he had a chance. His teammate wins stage two. But Blaney ends up winning this. There's nothing that makes me look back and say, yeah, you should have bet on him. But I think it was Chase Holden from the Garage Guys that tweeted out, like, he was 25-1 early this week. So that's what makes betting on NASCAR so great, is a lot of different people can win any given week. Blaney comes out and he runs up front all day long, cashes that ticket for some people. It's great. And that's why we throw out, like, just throwing out Brad Keselowski 40-1, we didn't do it for no reason. Taylor Gray, 40-1, didn't do it for no reason. Both those guys ended up having good runs and showed speed. They didn't hit, but there's going to be times where that's going to hit. Whether it's a 25-1 with Blaney, 40-1 with Chastain last year, 200-1 with Corey LaJoie that almost hits. The long shots, we don't throw them out just for shits and giggles. They've got a chance. Unfortunately, these didn't hit, but going back, I wouldn't change any of these bets because all of these guys showed the opportunity with fast cars throughout the day and had chances to win this race. So, again, another week of just not quite getting the outrights, which is getting frustrating. But I think we're there on the analysis, and I think that as far as like the handicapping aspect and going back and looking at what these guys have done, everything is correct. It's just not falling into place perfectly at the end. But we're going to get there, and I'm not too worried about that.
I am not worried at all because I had Hamlin and Truex. Hamlin, of course, led some laps. Two of the fastest cars. Truex was, he was a baller in this race for the most part, but unfortunately just couldn't get it done. Still finished third, though, from 18th to third. If you listen to him in DFS, I told you he was going to do exactly this in DFS, and I thought he was going to win the race, unfortunately. And he didn't even lead any laps, but he was still one of the fastest cars.
He really didn't lead any laps?
Really led no laps. Can you believe that?
Wow, that's actually so. I would not have. I thought he did lead laps. I mean, he was so fast throughout the day, I thought he did. But we called it. We called all three of these Gibbs cars. And shout out to Ty Gibbs. He ends up with a great day, too. Did he end up – where did he finish? He ended up getting – oh, yeah, he got wrecked.
Ty Gibbs, 26th, so yeah.
Yeah, 26. But all day long, running really, really good. So shout out to him for that. We'll talk about it more on the Xfinity Series side of things. So I got to get your take on this Elliott Hamlin thing, Rod. I mean, that's going to be the big topic this week. What are your thoughts on that incident? What are your thoughts on if and what the punishment should be, if there is one? Where do you stand?
I love his stock answer, though, Elliott's. Well, you know, when the car won't drive, the car won't drive. I'm just, you know, the steering wheel.
But he has to say that, right?
Of course he has to. Of course he has to.
Like, that's, somebody probably said to him while he was inside the infield care center, this will be your response.
Deny, deny, deny.
They're holding up a big card behind him.
Deny, deny, deny. Look, these guys are too good of drivers. They even in a shitty driving car, there's no way that big of a movement is there. So there was, even if it was not already thought of, gut reaction for a driver like that is, all right, fine. You know, now, did he think that it was going to spill him out that much? No, because you guys are going 180 miles an hour. You know, it's like your split-second decisions.
The split-secondness of it.
Yeah. So it's honestly, you could argue either way, I guess. Telemetry is going to tell exactly what it is. But by the eye test, dude, come on. There was a little retaliation. There's a little frustration in that.
Do you think, I mean, go back to Bubba Wallace last year.
He's got it. Right? He's got to get suspended.
Is NASCAR going to suspend Chase Elliott for a race?
You have to.
No, they're not. There's no way.
Whether
or not he's guilty, whether or not he did it on purpose, there is zero chance in my mind that they suspend the most popular driver who already missed a bunch of races, that the ratings went down. The ratings came back up when he came back. They had a whole advertising campaign about his back. There is no way they suspend him.
But let me ask you.
I will say.
Okay, go ahead.
So I am a Chase Elliott fan. I've been a lifelong Bill Elliott fan. So I am biased in that way. I can see both sides. So I don't think his was as egregious as Bubba Wallace's. Bubba Wallace drove like three or four lanes down to just completely hook Larson at Texas last year. So I don't think, and I think that's how NASCAR is going to get away with this, because I think that they're going to say that it was close enough in the heat of that, like we said, split second, that it's not as egregious. Now, whether that's right or whether that's wrong, I don't know, and I am such a fan that it's hard for me to try and step back and look at it. I can see both arguments. Denny Hamlin obviously, you know, posted the SMT data. I don't exactly know how to read that, but from what everybody that seems to know what they're talking about says, it looks like he turned. We have seen guys bounce off the wall and just keep driving fine. And we have seen guys that bounce off the wall and can't steer at all because toe links are broken and stuff. And so does he hit the wall, and as he comes back and then it just kind of goes away from him, and it, you know, as he goes, he turns left. Maybe. I don't know. I don't see, again, whether or not he should. Maybe he should get a one race suspension, because that's if it was on purpose, that's very dangerous, and we can't have that. But I think I can't see a way that NASCAR suspends Chase Elliott, their most popular driver, who's already missed these races, for a race. I don't see him doing it, and maybe they will. And if they do, then that really is going to send a message to the garage. But I think that they're going to fine him probably. Because you probably have to do something. So it's probably a fine. Maybe they do some points. But I can't see them giving him a suspension. I think that their argument is going to be it wasn't as egregious as the Bubba thing, but maybe, I don't know.
My only thing is that, are they ready to deal with the consequences of not? That's my only thing. Is NASCAR ready to deal with the ramifications of not taking the same type? They really have to make a strong case, because public court already says to them that you know what you're doing. These guys have seen. Denny has a big, and look, I don't think Denny cares about getting fined or suspended anymore about his podcast. So if they don't do anything, they're going to have.
But they've been so inconsistent on other penalties too. I mean, Denny Hamlin goes on the podcast and says he did it on purpose, and then Michael McDowell says on the radio, hey, fix this up so I can go wreck him, basically.
Yeah.
And then nothing. NASCAR never even addressed it. No fine. So over the years, they've always, that's one thing, NASCAR's been very inconsistent on their quote unquote judgment calls, which there's a lot of judgment calls in any sport. I mean, that's what penalties are, right? What's a catch in the NFL? The NFL doesn't even know what a catch is, right? So what's intentionally wrecking someone? What's admitting you're going to wreck someone? Which part of it's in the heat of the moment? Which part of it's not? I mean, I think there's enough loopholes in there that if it's any other driver, they might do it. But I don't see him suspend, especially after he missed races this season and the number dipped when they did. Now, whether that, I'm still not fully sold on that, was just Elliott not being in the race. I think it's timing and you know, what channels it was on and other things maybe, but there was a dip. It happened to come back the week he came back. As a fan, I hate it when people say, oh, he's the golden boy, but he is. He's the most popular driver, and I don't see him suspending him. Again, whether it's deserved or not, I don't fully know, but I do. If it was as egregious as the Wallace thing to Larson last year, then I would say they need to suspend him. But I don't think it was that egregious, because it was such a short space, and it could at least make the argument that he bounced off the wall and into him. Maybe the toe link was broken. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because that's going to be an interesting story if that's the case.
I've got my popcorn ready for sure. So
we'll be refreshing Bob's Twitter all week as we wait for that penalty report on Wednesday.
All right. Well, let's quickly go over these Xfinity bets. Obviously, the race literally just ending as we're on this, so we can go over our bets real quick on what we did. Obviously, just can't even handicap this one the way we thought. It started, it stopped, it didn't just... Yeah, this one was crazy from the start.
Well, half our bets are voided because,
yeah, exactly.
Because guys didn't even race.
Yeah.
But I did think it was really awesome. Comes down to fuel mileage at the end of the race. Did you, I don't know, did you even catch the end?
I did not get to catch the end. Yeah. I will be completely honest with you. So
comes down to fuel mileage at the end, which was really, really fun. Let's see, end of stage two, Ty Gibbs wins. He's killing everybody. They come down a pit, and then he comes back down. They had to change the steering wheel because his microphone button was stuck on the steering wheel, so they couldn't talk to him. And so they come down, change it, sends him to the back. And then it's going green. And then we get a caution, like right at the very, very little bit too far into the fuel window. That's when Sam Mayer spins, smashes the wall. And then everybody comes down, pits, and they're going. And then it just turns into a game of, we got to save, we got to save. And then Justin Allgaier's running, and then he kind of backs up, and Nemechek goes around, and they're like, okay, you're good, go get him. And then he goes back and gets him. And then it's like, oh, we got to save, we're two laps short. And then we get to about 15 laps to go. Austin Hill's running in third. He pits. So he just changed, like he throws the wrench in, right? So then everybody else pits except for the top three, which is Allgaier, Nemechek, and Hill. And I mean, they're telling Austin Hill that Allgaier's four laps short. He's not going to make it. Everybody's just waiting and waiting and waiting for him to run out. Nobody runs out, but everybody backs off. Like, you could see lap times. They were running 2 seconds, 3 seconds slower a lap. It was crazy how much fuel they were conserving. Nemechek really slowed down because he went from right there with Allgaier to like 9 seconds behind him, just really trying to save enough, hoping Allgaier runs out. Custer did the same thing. Hill unlaps himself. He's coming in fourth. Like, he's not going to catch him, but if they run out, he's going to be there to take the win, which I was rooting for, but does not happen. So, yeah, it was exciting. That's kind of old school. We don't get a ton of fuel mileage races anymore in the modern day and age. But, again, started the race early on Sunday, or Monday, rather. And then we ended after this race, the Coke 600. But it was a good race, a fun race. Breeze over the bets. I know you gotta go here shortly. But I had John Hunter Nemechek over Kyle Busch. That one gets voided, of course. Kyle Busch decides not to race after they move the race to Monday. Which, shout out to Justin Haley, jumps in that car, and Ty Gibbs. They both ran 900 miles. Well, Gibbs didn't technically finish the 600, but no, pretty close to 900 miles on the day. I had Austin Hill over Sammy Smith, plus 110. Austin Hill comes in clutch again. He beats him. I had Austin Hill to win Group C, plus 240, over Sam Mayer, Chandler Smith, and Sammy Smith. That was a fairly easy hit there at plus 240. Josh Berry, top five, plus 140. Where did Berry end up finishing?
Berry ended up in 15th.
He ended up 15th. Yeah. I don't remember what happened to Berry at the end, to be honest. That might have just been, I don't know. I had the winning car number odd, plus 130. That hits.
That
because
hits.
It was Justin Allgaier. So fairly decent day on those. I had Gibbs, plus 275. I would load it up on that one. It was a good bet, especially Kyle Busch drops out of the race. Gibbs looked like the class of the field. He still fought his way back, but of course, not enough. I had Mayer at plus 20-1. He looked pretty decent. Hill 25-1. I was praying for everybody to run out of gas at the end there. Sammy Smith 20-1 as well. He ends up with a decent day. Ends up in 10th. So again, I was just looking at the speed, but pretty decent card for me, at least. +240, +130, +110. The John Hunter Nemechek thing would have cashed over Kyle Busch. I don't think Busch would have beat Nemechek in second place, most likely, but of course that one is voided.
Yes, sir. I had Gibbs over Busch. Of course, that one was voided as well. I had Sheldon Creed over Brandon Jones, and that did not hit. Brandon Jones finished ninth. Sheldon Creed did not. Let's tell you what, I'm scrolling down to even look for that two car.
Yeah, he ended up getting, he was, again, running decent, and then he ended up getting a bunch of damage in a pit road incident, and then I think he spun out after that, and yeah, things did not. He was technically running at the end, but that car was rather beat up.
Yeah. I had Josh Berry over Cole Custer at +105. Look, Berry started from the back. It was going to be tough for him to do it anyways. So, you know, I'm sure he made a valiant charge, but Cole Custer was actually one of the top running cars to begin that race, and he stayed that way, finishing third. Again, Josh Berry just couldn't get it done. I had Allgaier as a top five car. Well, last time I checked, number one is inside the top five, so he won that race, winning that one. Had the winning car under 15 and a half. Once again, 7 is lower than 15 and a half, so that was a cash as well. And then, of course, Josh Berry at +900, but that was because I had thrown out another long shot because we both thought Gibbs was going to walk away with this one, which he almost did. So, yeah, man, that wraps up a crazy week of racing. Andrew, we see your question, buddy. Early look to Gateway. Get in the Discord. We're running out of time. I got a hard out tonight because yeah. I'm most...
I will say it's a tough track. It's 1.25 miles, so not like any other size track. In between intermediate, in between short track. It's kind of shaped like Darlington. I honestly, I'm not exactly sure what tracks I'm going to take from yet on this one. So,
but keep an eye on the Discord, Andrew. Yep, we'll tell you all about it there. So... yeah, that wraps up that week of racing, man. I can't believe that here on a Monday night, we're still talking about stuff that happened today on the track.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ended within the last hour here. It finally all got over. So great weekend of racing though. A lot of good stuff, a lot of miles watched. Love it.
Absolutely. Yes, Andrew, we will put the Discord link in the chat when you get there. And for those of you out there, it's sg.pn/discord. If you're listening and can't see the chat, sg.pn/discord will get you to our Discord. And then you can find the NASCAR channel in that as well. Tonight, though, we will bid you adieu because it's already been a long weekend and we're going to put this one to bed. The longest race of the year requires the longest weekend of the year to wrap it up. But, we're going to keep you posted, though. We don't know when odds are going to get posted. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, it might be schedule TBD this week, depending on when odds start showing up and everything. And Rod's got some Army commitments as well. So we'll have shows out to you like we always do. Might be out of order, might be on different days, but they'll be there.
Yeah, if you're subscribed already, then you know. And you're already up to date and you can just know when they pop into your feed and you can listen to them then. If not, do that, because if you subscribe, then we don't got to tell you when they come out. They'll just be in your feed when you wake up in the morning and you'll be happy for it. So, all right, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed the long weekend.
Ryan Blaney, yes, he did.
Ryan Blaney. Blaney's Corner is back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Cody. Let's send everybody off on their way. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yep. Follow me on Twitter at Husker_Zeeb. You can find all my work over there. And then again, yeah, subscribe on all the platforms. That way you get notifications when shows come out this week.
Indeed. Andrew, I know you think odds are out tomorrow afternoon, evening.
We'll probably get winning odds, but whether we'll have enough to be able to put together a show with, you know, top fives and top tens and head to heads. We'll see. Yeah. Hopefully they're working on it. Hopefully the books, there's no reason they couldn't have started to study up and have things in place to go. But a lot of times they drop the ball on that kind of stuff. So,
and a lot of times they're just like the rest of us. They party a little too hard. They've had 10 days
to get the truck stuff out. So they could have that out already and there's nothing. So who knows?
A little too hard on the Memorial Day celebrations and barbecues, but we'll see. Hopefully, Andrew, you're right. And they have them out and we can get them to you then. If not, keep an eye on the feed. And follow me on Twitter, too, if you want to know. At RJ Villagomez, link in the bio to everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's in between media, my week off of the back road, but still check out Seth and Elliot as they hold it down for the weekend coming up. And then, of course, my article on the Four Frequencies' Sake. If you know that, you would have followed me on that and had Zane Smith in your DFS lineup and Martin Truex Jr. as well. We'll be back again. Keep an eye out for our next episode. Hopefully it is tomorrow night with some truck or with some whatever odds we can do. F1 gambling as well. We'll talk about last week, Monaco, and maybe wrap
previous
up some Indy
Spanish too. Spanish GP this week too.
Outstanding. All right. We'll see you guys. We love you guys. And until next time, let's go racing and let it ride.